that first verse, you know it. When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll. Sounds good. Whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul, it is well. It is well with my soul. How about that last verse? Then, Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sighed. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well, it is well with my soul. Aren't you glad it's well with your soul this morning? Praise the Lord for that. And you're singing good. Here in just a few moments when we finish Sunday school, don't go anywhere. We're going to run through the choir song. Just stay where you're at. And then we'll make room for you up in the choir loft, okay? And you can just consider yourself part of the choir from then on. It's good to see everybody this morning. Thank you for being here. And let's just go over a few prayer requests that we've had in addition to the prayer request list. Now, as a reminder, Brother Mark's not going to be able to be here this morning with us. He's okay. Mrs. Randolph has not done away with him yet. He'll be back, but he's not going to be able to be with us this morning, so we'll just go over a few of these things. If you've received the prayer request list either by email or you have picked one up on the back table there, and you've noticed that there's a prayer request that's no longer relevant because it has been answered, or whether the answer be yes or no, Or it doesn't apply anymore. Do us a favor and go ahead. I think some of you already have put a line through it, and we'll get that updated. Okay. I want to welcome back Renee Massey and Ernest. Thank you for being back with us. It's good to see you again. And make sure that you let them know that it's good to see them again. How many think it's warm in here? Hallelujah! I'm glad you think the same thing. All it requires is for somebody on this side, just step over there and run that arrow down, if you don't mind, and let's quit the furnace, all right? I feel like those Hebrew boys, and I'm about ready to call on Jesus to show up. He didn't say he would get rid of the trial, but he did say he would be with us through the trial. So I was just going to ask him to be with us is what I was going to ask him for. But thank the Lord. Hallelujah. This heater stuff, it's tearing me up, I'm telling you. Every time one kicks on, my whole system just shuts down in my head, and I think it affects my brain too, according to Carmen. But anyway, we need to pray for, an addition would be Peyton Berry. She has some spiritual needs, and a request has gone out for her. Miss Risa Wampler is asking for prayer. she's not feeling well, and it's gone on for a couple weeks now. And so keep her in prayer. She needs to get back to work. There's also an addition to the list here for Phyllis Thornton. Can somebody help me, whoever wrote that in? Yes.
She's having student replacement at MD Anderson.
Yes. Okay. One L, two S's. We'll get that fixed. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Anybody else that did not see the request list and would like to add something to that, to the prayer requests? How many are having fun with allergies and all the snots and don't mean to be gross or anything, but it's a reality. It's a reality of life. We're having a lot of fun with that. We need to pray for some folks in our church. We've got several that have been affected, and so have been affected and infected. And it's getting to the point where I think it's about touched everybody, or it soon will, and then we'll be over this thing and we'll be on the road. Amen? I think everybody's about fed up with it. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. So am I. So anyway, we need to do that. We'll pray for that. Let's go ahead and say a prayer, and then I've got one announcement to make, and then we'll get started. Hallelujah. Lord, thank you so much for this day. Lord, thank you for another day. Even though it's a little dreary outside and it affects my mood a little bit sometimes when it's dreary, Lord, I know that in my heart, I have your joy, I have your peace, and I can say that it is well with my soul this morning. But I can say that because of you. So we lift you up this morning. We thank you. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for sending your Son, Heavenly Father, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be born as we're born. He humbled himself so that we one day would be exalted to a level that we do not deserve. And we thank you for that this morning. Lord, thank you for the privilege that we have to even mention your name, and we have your ear. Thank you for that. Thank you for these requests that have been turned in, those that are already on the list. Lord, we ask for them this morning. We ask for Peyton. Lord, I pray that you would get a hold of her heart. Lord, there's some questions, perhaps some confusion. And Lord, I just pray that you would clear that all that up. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd work in her heart. If she needs to be saved, Lord, I pray that you would touch her heart and show her need for a Savior. Lord, I pray that you would show her your love and the fact that you care about her more than anybody in the entire world. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with her. We pray for Miss Risa Wampler. Lord, I pray that you'd help her to get better. She needs to go back to work. And Lord, I pray that you'd help that and you would allow that. We pray for Phyllis Thornton with this surgery that she has coming up. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with her and that you'd touch her and be with the doctors. And Lord, I pray anybody that has anything to do with her case, I just pray that you would be with them and help them and give them wisdom. We love you. And Lord, we pray for these moments that we have, these next few moments here. And Lord, I understand and I realize the responsibility of that's in this room this morning. We have a group of people that, Lord, they could be other places rather than waste their time this morning by coming here to this class. And so, Lord, we pray that their time will not have been wasted. And Lord, we place myself into your hands. Lord, I pray that you would use me this morning. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would give me the exact words to say. And Lord, may I not say what I don't need to say. And Lord, I just pray that you would touch hearts and that you would help us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. And amen. On a lighter note, I have an announcement to make this morning. Auntie Ruth's Donuts now has a permanent location. 3253 Highway 11E in Limestone. So now you don't have to chase the trailer down and find out where it's at in order to get your donut fix. I knew you would appreciate that. Those of us that are coming off of Christmas and are trying to stick to your New Year's resolution. They are good donuts, though, aren't they? Oh, my soul. Their pretzels are amazing.
I got some yesterday.
You got some yesterday. All right, so you've proven it. Hallelujah. I think a lot of people are jealous jealous of you right now. But anyway, well, what do you say we try to wrap this the subject up today? I keep saying that every week, don't I? We're talking about how to deal with sin or dealing with sin. And hopefully this will be the last Sunday morning that we deal with that. And, you know, I talked about several Sundays. I've mentioned the fact that for something that we are dead to, sometimes we focus on it way too much. And it seems as though this has drug out and we focused on it way too much. But we do need to deal with this and finish it up. Last week, we were speaking about how God deals with sin. And we saw how that God hates sin. And the reason that He hates it so much is because it was sin that separated us from Him. And His entire reason for our existence, the only reason we're here on this planet, is because He wanted to have a relationship with us. So when you have a holy God that creates man so that He can have a relationship with him and just get along, He would come out of heaven, the Bible says, He would come from heaven to earth in the cool of the day to have fellowship with mankind. And then sin separates us from God. How would you feel if that happened? I mean, you know how we are humanly when something gets in between us and our children, like son-in-laws or daughter-in-laws. I'm just being goofy there, although a couple of them are borderline, you know. I think Brother John and Miss Amy are going through something right now where their kids are thinking along those lines, and I've heard some comments from pastor's mouth, and he's just being kind of funny or goofy, I think. When something gets in between you and one of your children, you know how you feel. And this is how God feels about sin. Sin separates us from God. And it's what originally separated us from God. But now let's not forget the fact that God took care of that separation. Right? He took care of that separation. And for those of us that have asked Christ to come into our heart, we've received the gift of eternal life. We have been set free from the bondage of sin. There's a whole other thing that takes place. Okay? We are no longer separated from God. And I'm getting some looks like, are you sure about that, Brother Dan? And I know that, you know, maybe you don't want to say that out loud, but we are no longer separated from God if you have Christ in your heart. Amen? We have the Bible to prove that. We're no longer separated. He has, if you're in His family, the Bible says, therefore, if any man is in Christ, what is he? He's a new creature. Old things are, behold, all are become new. What does John chapter 1 and verse 12 say? But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to what? To become the sons of God. John 10, 29, or 29 and 30 talks about, bless you, it talks about, and that's okay. It's, you know, I know that feels weird and all that good stuff, but we're all right. John chapter 10, 27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, they follow me, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall what? Help me now. They shall never perish. What does that mean? To put it in my understanding, it ain't going to happen. They shall never perish. And then he talks about my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. He talks about nobody being able to pluck you out of his Father, out of his hand. And then he says, my Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand. You're double insured. Okay? It's not happening. Sin no longer has that hold. We are no longer separated from God. But God does hate sin. God has the unique ability, though, and in Him, we also have that ability of separating the sin from the sinner. Okay? The sin from the sinner. Every person that accepts Christ has been saved from the penalty of sin, which is death. So we understand that. Now, how does God expect us to deal with sin? And this is where we get down to the nuts and bolts. Number one, we must accept responsibility for our sin. We must accept the responsibility. Your sin is your fault. Now today, in today's society, just like in the Garden of Eden, so nothing new under the sun, we like to blame everybody for what's going on. It's never my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. That guy cut me off, didn't he? Never mind the fact that there was only a piece of paper could have fit in between both bumpers. He cut me off. He made me do that. I mean, what would you have expected me to do? Just sit there and take it? See, it's not my fault. It's always somebody else's fault. He pushed me to that. It's never my fault. So we must accept responsibility. It's not anyone else's fault. You will never correct anything in your life until you accept responsibility for your sin and your behavior. Look at Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51. Let's see what the Bible says here. The psalmist says in Psalm 51, verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out. And let's see his heart change here when he says, my transgressions. He wasn't always at this thought process. But when he's writing this psalm, he is. God had brought him to that moment. He says, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from whose sin? My sin. And then he says, for I acknowledge whose transgression? My transgression. And my sin is ever before me. Against thee, he says, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. You think he had it right? I think so. Right here, he had it right. It was his fault. It was his fault. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. Proverbs 28 and verse 13 says this: He that covereth his sins shall not what? Shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Shall have mercy. So we must deal with it. It's our responsibility. Number two, we cannot allow sinful thoughts to control our minds. We have to say no. You know, you say, well, Brother Dan, that sounds pretty simple. Yeah, it sounds simple. But it's a whole nother thing to practice. Amen? And some of us have a little harder problem with that than others. And those that aren't as obvious about it have it inwardly. See, some of us are sitting here and you do a really good job, or I do a really good job at hiding most of my sin. I'm an assistant pastor at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So we know that most of my sins, they can't be visible because you turn me in. And rightly so, you should. You should. But how many of those sins are either sins of omission or sins that are non-visible? What about sins of the heart? Nobody sees those. What about those, boy, if I could get my hand on him and choke him to death, I would. That's a real thing. Remember the exchange that Christ had with the Pharisees? They were saying, oh, we have kept all these laws. And they had. They were good at it. I mean, they looked the part. And the Lord says, yeah, that's good. You know, you say this, but I say that if you think it in your heart, then you've already done it. That's God's law. So we cannot allow sinful thoughts to, because sinful thoughts and sinful ideas become sinful behavior. The battle against sin, it begins in the heart and the mind. And remember, the Bible ties those two together, heart and mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? So it's very important that we read and memorize God's word to keep our hearts and our minds clean. You know this verse, but let's read it in Psalm 119 and verse 9. Psalm 119 and verse 9, remembering that Psalms, there's 176 verses in Psalm. Psalm 119 has 176 verses. All but three speak of the Word of God. They use different wording words, and they're like statutes, commandments, different words like that, but they all speak of the Word of God. Psalm 119:9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By doing what? Taking heed thereto according to thy word. Verse 11 says, thy word have I what? Hid in mine heart that I might not what? So if you hide his word in your heart, you're less likely to sin against God, correct? That's what the Word says. Let's look at another passage of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3. We're talking about how God expects us to deal with sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh," or we don't war using our flesh, is what it's trying to say. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God." So the weapons that you have at your disposal are mighty, not in and of yourself, because you're that good of a Christian, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And then he says, "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God." Do you know of anything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God? Sometimes we can enter into that attitude or posture by how we live, how we walk, maybe certain decisions that we make. If we make a decision when God told us that we should be making another decision, then we've placed ourselves in a position that we are smarter than God, we're wiser than God, and we're going to do it our way. So we have placed ourselves in an exalted position above God. That's the reality of it. And when it comes to God telling us, or you say telling us, showing us what to do, or paving a way for us to follow in our life, it's really a no-brainer. Because God knows everything, and He sees everything, and He sees every pitfall, and He sees anything that might not be the best for us. But sometimes we get in our own self and we make a decision because we think it's the best for us, when we know what God wants for us, and we put ourselves in an exalted position above God. And that's a dangerous place to be in, folks. Very dangerous. So we cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought. And what is the purpose of bringing into the captivity every thought? To the hard part. To the obedience of Christ. To the obedience of Christ. So we cannot allow sinful thoughts to control our minds. And we do it not through our power, but we do it through the power of the Holy Spirit of God that dwells in us. And we lean and we depend on that, not in our own flesh. Number three, we don't make provision for the flesh. This is common sense stuff. If I have an issue with something, I'm not going to go hang around it because I might, oops, do it. Duh, as the kids would say, right? Could have had a V8, right? It makes sense, you know, you don't provide or make provision for certain things. There's certain places, there's certain situations that you just need to stay away from if you know that the temptation is going to be too great for you. Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. You done made provision for it. Look at Romans 13. This is kind of neat. Romans 13, verse 12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but it says, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Right? So when you entertain that, well, I'll tell you what I'd do. You know, you're already thinking it through. If it was me, you know, I'd just get right in their face and I'd just, you know. It's not always, you know, and this was brought out to me, you know, when I was talking, we were hashing this over, Carmen and I, we were talking about, it's not always drinking. You know, we like to, that's our go-to sin, you know, oh, drinking and smoking, you know. Why? Because it's visible and we don't do it. So it's easy to talk about it, right? What's that? Auntie Ruth's, yeah, Auntie Ruth, that can be a, man, she's starting to meddle now. Starting to meddle, I'm telling you. So, we like to talk about the things that we don't have a problem with. That's what we like to mention. But we just basically don't need to make provision for what the flesh wants. It's really rather simple. You got the flesh and you got the spirit. Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The two don't mix. It's like oil and water. Then, number four, we need to realize that we are dead to sin in Jesus Christ. Dead men, dead women cannot sin. I'm dead to that. You've heard, you know, the old movies. You're dead to me. Speak to the hand. That's how we need to treat sin. It's dead to us. It means nothing to us. I live in the world. Yeah, I get it. But that's not who I am. It doesn't define me. I'm placed here by God. I was created by God and placed here by God for a purpose, for a reason. I got to live here. So I might as well deal with it, right? I'm not scared of it. Why? I'm dead to it. Romans chapter 6, we know it. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid, because we're dead to it. If you're in Christ, you're dead to that. And then lastly, on this point, man, where does time go? We need to judge our sins ourselves. Leave everybody else alone. God does a real good job at that. And the Holy Spirit does a really good job at convicting. I don't know if you knew, but He specializes in that area of conviction. And He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need my help. He doesn't need me pointing out the faults in everybody. He doesn't. And truth be told, I've got enough to keep up with Dan. I don't have time to keep up with you. I really don't. As long as I'm in the Word of God, and as a minister of the gospel, as long as I'm preaching the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will do a number on everybody He needs to work with. You would admit with me, there's times that He'll tear you up on the inside over something that you and I both know that's not right before God. And whoever's doing the preaching doesn't have a clue. I don't know how many times I've heard a pastor or a preacher say, somebody come up to them and say, "My soul, you got all over me today." And it had nothing to do with the subject of the sermon. But the Holy Spirit of God took it and ran with it and took care of business. And He'll do it. And He doesn't need our help. Amen and amen. So, ways that we can keep the influences of the world from affecting us as a final amen. Just stay in the book. You don't have to study about all the sin that's out there and specialize in it and know the ins and the outs and study all the cults and you know what the you've heard this before and I've said it before and it's so true. Those in the treasury that deal with false bills, they don't study the new false bills, the latest. They study the good stuff. They get to know the good dollar bills or the good hundreds or the good 20s or the good 10s. They study those all the time. And that way, if something shows up, even though they may not be able to put their finger on it right at the moment, they say, "Man, something's not right about it. It don't feel right. It don't smell right. There's something off with it." Satan is going to take everything that's God, and he's going to anti it because he is anti-God. Think about that. Anything that's God, he's against it. And so anything that is against God, you'll be able to sniff it out if you stay in this book. This is what you got to immerse yourself in. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. I pray this subject helped us in dealing with sin. It's really not rocket science. It's not rocket science. And God will be with us, and He will help us. Why? Because greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. I know these are dangerous words. Oh, Brother Dan, I don't know if I'd say this or not. Well, I know whose side I'm on, but I ain't scared of Satan. I'm not scared of him. I've seen his work. I've been in some situations and make the hair in the back of your head rise up and salute. But in those moments, I've seen God step in and do some wonderful things. God is real. He's very real. And He is a whole lot bigger and better than Satan. Satan chose his path years ago when he said he wanted to be like God. And God already gave him his sentence and his condemnation. And he sees it coming. He knows it's coming. And he knows the time is near. So let's not allow him to get one over on us and try to convince us that this thing with sin is something that we have to deal with. God already took care of that. We live above that. We don't live in it. We live above it. Thanks be to God. Amen. Father, thank you so much for what you've done in our hearts and in our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would live mindful of what you've already taken care of. And that your children, Lord, we do not live in that. We are dead to sin. And Lord, I pray that we would live our life that would be such an example of your love and of your forgiveness that we would have nothing to do with sin. It's not part of who we are. It's not our DNA. Lord, I pray, you've changed us. You said you've made us different. I pray that we would live that way. Thank you for your Holy Spirit and for your power to do that. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Blessings to you. We'll see you in just a few moments.